As pastor of Evangelism and Assimilation, I am so thrilled that over the last number of months we've been focused on prayer and on evangelism. It's been awesome. And this morning we have a very special guest speaker, Mark Cahill. And it doesn't matter what college he went to or what he's been doing. What's important is he loves Jesus and he loves to proclaim Jesus. He loves to engage people in conversations, trying to find out what they believe and why they believe it. And isn't that what we should be engaged in as well? He likes to sit at airports and coffee shops and just talk to people. And so as he comes this morning to share with us some of the things that he's learned and how to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, we're going to have tools to equip us to do a better job of being Christ followers and to share the good news. So would you please welcome Mark Cahill to Skyline Church this morning.
God bless you, man. Hey, y'all, good morning. Trust in the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy shall endureth for ever. So remember, as you go through corporate things, issues, as you go through personal issues in life, trust in the Lord, for he is good, and his what? His mercy will endureth forever. It's something I've always had to hang on to, because too many times in life, I really want to walk by sight and not walk by faith. And when I have to reach those times in my life, I just have to remember, Mark, trust in the Lord, for he is great. And his mercy endureth how long? Forever. Never forget that. Every second, two people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, if the Lord allows you to, another 150,000 people have taken their last breath, walked off in eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Okay, so simple question for you, Skyline. Do you care about those two people that just died? Okay, but a much, much, much tougher question. Do you care enough to do something about where those two people are going to spend eternity that just died? As we sit here, two more people just died. And two more people just died. Okay? And too many of us as Christians are just out of focus. Okay? We're worried about what we're going to do this afternoon, where we're going to go eat at. Will the Chargers ever beat the Broncos? We're worried about all these crazy things. How's my bank account look when the economy's going funky right now? We're worried about things that don't matter. But to the two people that just died, all that mattered is, did they know the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing else mattered at that moment. And we as believers have to get refocused to what's going to matter. And that cross is absolute proof souls matter to God. The only question we're ever going to wrestle with is, do souls matter to me? Because you can be here one moment and gone just like that. I used to be a school teacher back in the day, and one of my students, Brian, had a learner's permit. He was driving in the mountains of Tennessee, pulled into a convenience store. Him and his mother switch seats. His mother drives out in the mountains of Tennessee. A boulder rolls off the side of the mountain. Boulder lands directly in their passenger seat and crushes Brian dead instantly. Mother could look over. There's a boulder sitting in her car, and Brian is dead underneath that boulder. Now, I knew Brian was coming back to school next year. No, Brian wasn't. Brian headed off into eternity. And the question right now is, where is Brian at right now? Okay. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and the University of Georgia is just right up the road a piece. And some freshmen rock climbing, and one of the boys lost his hands. His hand slipped, and he fell off the side of the cliff. And when he fell off the side of the cliff held. And when it held, he came down and whop, hit the side of that mountain. Just dangling there, dead as can be, 18-year-old boy. Eternity, just like that. Well, I was speaking at a sports banquet in Montgomery, Alabama, and I told this story. And after the banquet, a lady walks up to me and says, you know the story of the young man that died in the rock climbing? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, well, that's one of our relatives. I said, really? I said, how are you doing? She said, let me tell you something. We miss this kid so much. He just had one of those personalities. She told me he could walk into a room and the whole room would light up. You know, one of those personalities. I said, we just miss this kid so much. But let me tell you something about that kid. Okay. In high school, he committed his life to Jesus Christ. Can teenagers get born again and saved? Yes or no? Yes. Are you reaching them for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because trust me, if you're not reaching them, Satan is all over this age group right now. Okay? But let me tell you something. I will show you teenagers all across America that are so sold out, rock solid for Jesus Christ, they make most of us adults look like fools for Jesus Christ. Bold, zealous, taking their campuses for Jesus Christ. Okay? Said he got saved in high school, committed his life to Jesus Christ. He witnessed to everybody in his high school. Went to the University of Georgia, witnessed to everybody at Georgia, And as much as we miss this kid, we know exactly where he's at. Isn't that the hope we have as believers? Yeah, isn't that the hope we have? See, when another believer dies, it's not a goodbye. It's a see you real soon. Okay, you just got to the throne quicker than I did. All right, we'll catch up around the corner a bit. All right, but you just got there. But see, that's the hope we have as believers, okay, that we know where someone goes when they die. Now, just a few months ago, I'm in the Atlanta airport. I'm talking to five of those guys who push the wheelchairs, start talking to them, get into a spiritual conversation. I tell this story about Josh. One of the boys said, wait a minute. He said, I knew Josh at the University of Georgia. He said, that kid loved God. He loved Jesus Christ. He said, you know what? I need to go back to what I used to do when I was young and I went to church and I've walked. I need to get back to what I used to believe as a kid. Did you see what Josh was doing? Josh was still speaking into people's lives and he had already passed on to the other side. Did you see that? See, he was speaking after he had died. And think about that for a second. I tell people all the time, I plan on speaking at my funeral. Okay? Now, I don't plan on being there. I'll be long gone at this moment, okay? But I plan on speaking my funeral because I speak with my life for Jesus Christ. Okay? I plan on speaking after I'm long gone. And I said to the church one time, and some man in the audience, he took me serious, and he emailed me, and he told me he went home and recorded a DVD of himself to actually play at the funeral. And he said, I'm preaching the gospel at my funeral, okay? That was a good idea, actually, but that was Southern people. Don't worry about it. And I just thought it was a good idea. But, you know, you hear one moment, gone just like that. You know, you might just decide to spend a Monday afternoon and go watch a marathon. You know? And little did you know, that was the day you were going to meet the Most High God. And the question is, three people that day, we know the man that died in the shootout was not ready to meet the Most High God. And the problem is, when you die, you don't get a do-over. You don't get a mulligan. You don't get a second chance. One shot at earth, and you meet Jesus face to face. You're either ready or you're not ready. But the question is, who warned those people? Who told those people about who they were going to meet the moment they died? And that's our job as believers. We're going to challenge you with this morning to do that. 2 years ago, March, March this year was the two-year anniversary of the tsunamis over in Japan. Now, if you think about it, that seems like a lot longer than 2 years ago, doesn't it? That seems like eons ago. There's just so much happening in our world today. We went through political season and stuff. It just seems like things are moving at such a quick pace, okay? But one of the stories out of Japan, I was on a Japanese website reading this article about this guy, and he was in his house, and he heard the tsunami warnings go off. If you ever watch the YouTube clips of the tsunamis, you can hear these sirens in the background. Now, where I live down south, we have sirens as well, but those sirens are for what? Yeah, tornadoes, okay? So when the tornado sirens go off, you have a choice to make, okay? You can go outside and enjoy the windy day, okay? Or you can go as deep as you can and get out of the way before they come through, okay? But when a warning goes off, you have to make a choice. Just like when the doctor says heart attack, okay? Or out of shape or something happens in my life or I lose a job. Those are warnings for us. But what do we do when the warning happens, okay? Well, the guy was in his house and he heard the tsunami warnings go off. So him and his wife ran out of the house to go to higher ground. And all of a sudden the guy said, wait a minute, I want to get something from my house. And he turned back around. And that was the first problem, okay? What are you grasping so tight on? What is it? What are you holding so tight on? The moment you die has zero eternal value. What is it? Is it a dollar bill? Is it tickets to a game? Is it a job? What is it? I always tell people all the time, I wrote it in one of my books, if it does not matter the day you die, it doesn't matter. We were witnessing at the Final Four in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and I'd ask people, I said, who won the Final Four 5 years ago? No one could answer the question. How important can it be if I can't even remember something 5 years later? Parents, do you remember your kids' names? Yes or no? Yeah, it's important. You know, do you remember your spouse's name? Be careful. And it's important. See, you remember important things, okay? But certain things in life we deem important but have zero eternal value. Went back down to the house. That's when the tsunami hit, okay? They never found his wife. In one part of Japan, the tsunami literally went 6 miles inland, okay? So the next time you go to the beach out here, a tsunami is not a wave. Actually, the whole ocean picks up is really what it is, okay? So think about that water picking up and then going 6 miles inland. That is very fascinating to think about. But then what always happens to the water? What happens? it recedes back out. They found this man on the roof of his house. They found him 10 miles out in the oceans where they found the guy. Okay, a helicopter went by. They saw him on top of the roof. They sent a Coast Guard cutter, picked him off there. And when I was reading the article, this is what hit me in the article. He said, I knew today was going to be my last day to be alive. Wait a minute. My Bible says in Daniel chapter 5 that I, as God, hold your breath in the palm of my hand. Do you know, you can't take a last breath until God says so. Can't take one. But the moment he says last breath, you don't get another one. One shot at a crazy place called planet Earth, okay? You don't get a do-over. You don't get a mulligan. You don't get a second chance, okay? Are you reached? I tell the lost people all the time, one shot at this place. But Christians, don't you forget, we only get one shot here as well. Is there a second judgment for believers, yes or no? After we die, is there a second judgment for believers, yes or no? The answer is yes. It's 2 Corinthians 5, the Bema Seat judgment. You'll be judged on all the works you did after you became a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Wood, hay, and stubble burned up by fire and gone. Gold, precious stones, and silver rewarded forever and ever and ever. Think about that for a second. And sometimes we are the ones that are out of focus, and we need to get back in focus because time is precious. It's scooting by very quick. Okay, and are we using that time wisely for the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about as we open up the scriptures this morning. We've got to do much more than talk about witnessing and sharing our faith. We just need to what? Just do it. Just walk out and talk to somebody. Watch how simple this is. Anyone glad someone told you about Jesus Christ? Anybody glad? Okay, yeah, I'm glad I went to college on a college basketball scholarship, and there are four young men waiting to tell me about Jesus Christ. And that began the whole process. I stand here, right here, because four people cared about this kid's soul. All right. Now, with the question, are we going to return the favor to other people and do the same? Okay, so let's pray as we open up our Bibles. Father, thank you so much for just a great chance to be here. Father, thanks for the churches across America. Still have a lot of religious freedom here. We're losing a lot of it, but we have a lot of religious freedom here, Father God, that we can open up the Word, study the Word, but let's put that Word into practice as well. And so we thank you for that, and we do. And we ask it in the great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay, all right, grab your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. Okay, so we're going to go Old Testament. If you open up in the middle of your Bible, what book will you hit? Book of Psalms. Then head to the New Testament. You're going to hit some real big books there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel's floating around there somewhere. And we're looking for Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, I'm going to start in verse 1, okay? So Ezekiel 33 and verse 1, and it says, Ezekiel 33 and verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, now in 2013, the number one way we get the word of the Lord is what? Reading what? Our Bibles, okay? The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God. Okay, we study the Word of God. We must know the Word of God. It's our insurance policy to protect our hearts against false teaching in the end of days. Okay, verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man off their coast and set them for their watchmen. Key word this morning's watchmen. That's the one word I want stuck in your head before you walk out. Know what a biblical watchman is, and then we behave like biblical watchmen in this world. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, that whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Now watch 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword come and blows not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. All right, here's the picture. Back in the day, you didn't have CNN and Fox News and satellites and drones and stuff like that, so you built a wall around your city, okay? And you chose watchmen to stand up on the wall, and they had a very simple job, look in the distance. All right. And when they saw an army come to the rise, they'd pull the trumpet out and blow the trumpet and warn the people in the city trouble was coming. Okay. They'd see a big dust cloud. So it'd be horses or chariots. So they'd pull the trumpet out and blow the trumpet and warn the people in the city trouble was coming. Now, was it the watchman's job to go down the ladder, go in the city, put everyone's armor, Uzis, knives, and stay? Was that their job? Nope. Simple job. See trouble coming, pull the trumpet out, blow the trumpet, warn the people trouble's coming. Okay. Now, might be good to do at lunch today or maybe in your Sunday school classes, but think about what qualities you would want in any watchman you would ever choose to stand on that wall. Think about the qualities you want, some of that was trustworthy. someone that was vigilant. It was a word they used up in Boston once they took off the, they let people out of their houses again. They were vigilant. They used that word. Someone that's loyal. Okay. Sometimes I have churches just raise hands up, and I just got this in New Jersey last week. The guy said, someone who knows how to play the trumpet. I thought this was a good answer, because you don't want someone to pick the trumpet. How does this thing work? Okay, you don't want that. I thought it was a good one. Last year, I'm speaking at a maximum security prison in Providence, Rhode Island. And one of the inmates, he raised his hand up. I said, yeah. He said, love. I said, love? I said, what do you mean? He said, I want to make sure the watchman loves the people in the city enough that he doesn't care if it's 3 a.m. He'll still blow the trumpet because he loves everybody in the city. Listen to me. I have never, ever gotten that word love from anybody but once in my life. And it was someone in a maximum security prison last year. Boy, it blew me away. Don't we want loving people? Now, think about those qualities we just mentioned. Shouldn't those all be qualities we have as believers in Jesus Christ? Yeah. See, people ask me all the time, how can I witness in the workplace? How can I witness as a public school teacher? Simple. Be the best teacher in the school. What's a principal? What won't they do? They will never get rid of the best teacher in the school. See, sometimes we want to give 50% effort and want God to give us favor on that. And that's not how it works. We give our best effort everywhere we go, acting like loving Christian men and women, and then watch God give you favor on top of that is what it is. Okay. Now, grab your Bibles and go to verse 7. Watch where the whole thing changes. All right. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine your hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away, we rot away in them, how should we then live? Now watch 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Beginning of 11 again. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's not a good day for God when Adolf Hitler takes his last breath and dies and goes to hell. It was not what God created him for. Not a good day for God when Idi Amin and Pol Pot and Joseph Stalin and Lenin, Osama bin Laden, take their last breath and die and go to hell. It was not what God created them for. Not a good day when you take your last breath and your famous song was, I did it my way. And you stand in front of the Most High God of the universe, because the moment you meet him, you realize very quickly you better have done it what? His way, or you wasted your life. Anyone remember George Carlin, the comedian? George Carlin, when he died a few years ago. When he passed away, I got on YouTube and started watching. I was trying to watch some 10-minute clips of him, because I used to listen to him when I was a lost guy back in the day. I couldn't get through one 10-minute clip of George Carlin without having to hit that pause button. Okay, I totally forgot how much he blasphemed the name of God and Jesus Christ. It was disgusting. I could not believe how bad it was. Okay, but my question was, who warned him? Who blew the trumpet and warned him? Said, Mr. Carlin, the God you keep mocking your routines, okay, is the God you're going to meet one day when you take your last breath. Who warned him? See, if Mr. Carlin could go back for 5 seconds on planet Earth, he wouldn't come back to be on a Jay Leno show or David Letterman show. He wouldn't come back to do stand-up routines where these guys can make $50,000 in an evening. Wrestle with that for a second. He'd come back for 5 simple seconds, get born again and saved, take his last breath and get out of this crazy place. But it's too late for him. But who warned him? Who blew the trumpet and cared enough about his soul to share with him the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ? Steve Jobs sold one of his companies for $400 million. Steve Jobs sold one of his companies for $8 billion. I haven't mentioned Apple yet. My Bible's as clear as a bell. What does it profit a man if he gains what? The whole world, yet what? loses his soul. Terrible, terrible trade-off. We'll teach it tonight during the seminar. When you walk out of the seminar tonight, you'll be able to talk to any friend, any relative, any total stranger about God and Jesus Christ all the days of your life. Break it down. Keep it simple. We just teach you ways to get into conversations. Last year, I'm walking onto a tram in the Detroit airport, and a guy is holding the Steve Jobs autobiography, so his face is on the front of it, and he's standing next to me. So I just tapped the book. I said, "Hey, what do you think?" Man looks at me and says, "Absolutely one of the meanest men I have ever read about in my life." He was well known for firing people on the spot, well known for it. He was well known for making people work Christmas, well known. Now, he wasn't a Christian, but that's still family time, even if you're not a Christian and do that stuff. Okay, still family time. Well known for stealing other people's ideas and putting them into his products, well known for it. Thou shalt not steal, well known for it. Okay. When Steve Jobs died, there were 16 billion songs that had been downloaded off of iTunes at that moment. 16 billion songs. I wonder how many of those songs glorified the God he stood in front of the moment he died. What's the symbol for Apple? Apple with? Bite out of it. Where's the only place in all of recorded history you see a piece of fruit with a bite out of it? Where? It's in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. That has been a symbol of rebellion against God for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. Yet, that's the symbol he chose for his company. Why not a whole apple? Why not the word apple? Why not an apple tree? How'd he even get the word apple? Okay. He got the word apple for his company because he got into a certain musical group. Anyone know the musical group he got into? Yeah, the Beatles. Okay, and the Beatles were put together by Apple Records. And that's how he actually got the title for his company out of that, okay? Steve Jobs was a certain religious faith. Anyone know the name of the faith? Not Buddhism. He got into Hinduism. Anyone know how he got into Hinduism? He got into a certain musical group. Anyone know the name of it? Yeah, I just told you. I'm helping here. I was a school teacher back in the day. He got into the Beatles, right? And the Beatles, when they traveled to India, they got into Maharishi and all that stuff, and they got into Hinduism. Is music powerful? Yes or no? Careful. Careful. I sat next to a Navy guy coming out of Jacksonville, Florida last year. We're sitting there talking. Really good, strong faith in Jesus Christ. Really, for his young age, had a very good, strong faith. We're talking. He had an iPod. I said, if I checked your iPod right now, I said, more secular music or more Christian music on that iPod? Which one? He said, sir, 100% secular rap music. I said, can I give you a piece of advice? He said, sure. If I were you, I said, I'd take that iPod, find the nearest trash can you can find, drop that puppy in there and get on with your life. Okay? Because all Satan's looking for is a hook. Okay? You people who go out here and fish, all you need is a hook, right? In the right place. A hook on the side of the fish, they wiggle and get away. But you hook right here in the right place. Little tiny hook, big old fish, you just got a reel, right? And all of a sudden, it just comes right to you. All Satan wants is a hook. And we need to chop that line sometimes. Okay, I've seen more people get into the music, and all of a sudden, it hooks them and walks them away and do that. Okay, but my question was, who blew the trumpet? Who warned Mr. Jobs that he was going to meet God one day? And I actually know of a man that worked for Steve Jobs and went into his office one day and shared Jesus Christ with him. Okay, he did it. He worked right underneath him, and he wanted nothing to do with it. Now, did that man do his job, yes or no? Yes, he did. He was the biblical watchman. That's exactly right. He blew the trumpet. He warned him. Trouble was coming if he didn't get right with Jesus. Your choice what to do with the warning. So that's what we do as believers. We have a trumpet, but our job is to blow it and blow it loud, okay, so people can understand they're going to meet God. They need Jesus Christ. Your choice what you do with that, all right? 2 years ago, I'm flying to Newark, New Jersey, and I have a guy next to me, Darren, and we're talking, and he worked for the CIA. So I kept asking him all these questions he couldn't answer. It was a lot of fun. And I kept trying to pick his brain on, like, conspiracy theories and stuff, and I didn't have a high enough security clearance or something. And so we're talking back and forth, and during the conversation, he tells me he's an agnostic. Okay, now, if you're taking notes, write these two things down. You'll be ahead of 90% of all people when it comes to sharing your faith. Very simple stuff, okay? First thing, sharing your faith isn't a presentation. Sharing your faith is a conversation. Very easy, simple thing to remember. Sharing your faith isn't a presentation. Sharing your faith is a conversation. Jesus had a conversation with the woman at the well. He had a conversation with the rich young ruler. Paul had a conversation with Felix. He had a conversation with Agrippa. Then during the conversation, we just present things during the conversation. All right, does that make sense? Yes or no? Okay, now can all of us have conversations? Yeah, we do it all the time. Okay, the question, are we just going to leave them at temporary conversations, or are we going to make them eternal conversations? Okay. And then the second thing, if someone tells you something in a conversation you don't know what it means, just ask them. So he told me he was an agnostic. If you don't know what it means, say, hey, what do you mean by agnostic? Well, I'm an atheist. Well, what do you mean by atheist? Well, I'm a Muslim. What do you mean by Muslim? I believe in evolution. What do you mean by evolution? So you just ask the question, and it keeps the conversation what? Yeah, it just keeps it going, okay? So if you don't know, just ask. If someone tells you they're a Christian, ask the question, what do you mean by Christian? Okay? We always get the right answer to that? No. Many times you'll get, well, I'm a good person. Is that the right answer? Teach you tonight how to break through that, okay? I have people all the time, well, I go to church. Does going to church make you a Christian? No. Going in the garage make you a car? No. Going to McDonald's make you a hamburger? No. Going in the barn make you a cow? No. Okay? Going to church doesn't make you something. Okay? I hope you go to a good, strong, Bible-believing church, but it doesn't make you, but it doesn't make you that. So just ask the question and find out. Now, agnostic basically means they're kind of in the mushy middle. They don't believe there's not a God, don't believe there is a God, but they haven't seen enough evidence to push them either way. That's basically what agnostic means, okay? We're talking back and forth. Then Darren says, oh, by the way, I was on Flight 93, September 11th, 2001. And all of a sudden, my wheels started spinning in my head, and it hit me. That was the plane that went down where? Pennsylvania, where everybody what? Died, but they're all still what? Remember something. They're all still alive. That's one of the tricks of the world, okay? They're trying to teach you death means over with. Michael Jackson, dead, over with. Elizabeth Taylor, dead, over with, okay? No, death in the Bible means just opening up the door to the other side. That's all it means. And matter of fact, in the King James Bible, it uses the word asleep many times for death. I think it's a great word for death, actually, okay? Because if you're asleep, you eventually what? You just wake up on the other side, okay? Don't buy that. That's a real trick of the world right now. Death is over with, but it's just the beginning on the other side. But he couldn't physically have been on the plane. I was like, what do you mean, Darren? Well, that was a Tuesday morning, September 11th, that was a Tuesday morning. He said the Friday before his boss calls him and said, Darren, I need you to get to California a day earlier, okay? I need you to switch your flight to Monday, September 10th, okay? He switches his flight to Monday, September 10th. 2001. He said, on my wall, Mark, is a picture frame with a ticket in there, flight 93, September 11th, 2001. He was this close to getting on that plane flight. He's an agnostic. I said, Darren, was that luck? Was that chance? Or was that God that kept you off the plane flight? He looked at me and said, yes, yes, yes. Okay, he knew something kept him off that plane flight. He knew it. He knew it. I said, Darren, the reason God kept you off the plane flight was to hear the rest of the story. Here's the rest of the story. We talked about sin, repentance, cross, resurrection, just laid it out for him. I said, do you like to read? Great question to ask people. Do you like to? He said, oh, I love to read. Okay. Gave him one of my books that's geared for seekers and searchers and just plant the seed. So my job is to pull the trumpet out and what? Blow the trumpet and warn Darren trouble's coming. He needs to seek and search this out to find out who God is and who Jesus Christ is before he dies. Okay. 2 months ago, I'm at my place in Atlanta and, I just needed to get on my bike and just go exercise, but all these emails, phone calls, this guy. So I finally said, Mark, get out of the house. So I get on my bike. I'm riding on this one little route in Atlanta, and I go by past this huge cemetery, okay? And as I'm riding past, I see all these flowers, like very, very fresh flowers. That means someone just what? Yeah, someone had just passed. Well, I get up past some trees, and I look again, and there's four people standing near the headstone. I said, Mark, ride your bike over there and go talk to them. And I'm like, Mark, you can't ride your bike into a cemetery. What are you talking about? You can't do this. So I kept riding up the street. Do you ever talk to yourself? I do the same thing. And I'm riding up the street. I said, Mark, go over there and talk with them. Mark, you only live, what, once. Go talk with them. All of a sudden, I did a U-turn on my bike. I park my bike. I start walking towards these people in the middle of the cemetery. Now I got biking gear on, helmet and all this stuff, you know. And all of a sudden, three ladies and a man. The man had just begun to walk away. So I walked away. And all of a sudden, you catch those eyes catch. All of a sudden, they look at me. I look at them. So when you have that eye catch moment in a coffee shop or with a waiter, waitress, whatever, just smile, okay? It breaks the ice a little bit. But keep walking. Don't walk away when the eyes contact. You just break through that moment. You're going to be A-okay. So I start walking to them. I said, hey, how y'all doing? They said, good. I said, who passed? They said, our mother passed. I said, how are you doing? Okay, isn't that a nice thing to ask somebody? How you doing? Okay, and they just start beginning to talk about their mother and how much they love mama and stuff. It's just really cool. And so I just said, was she born again? Was she saved? All of a sudden, the lady's face just lit up. Oh, mama, love the Lord. Love the Lord. Oh, my goodness. And she just started, I said, well, mama's okay right now. Okay, mama's fine. She's with Jesus. And all. I know you physically miss her and stuff, but she's okay right now. Matter of fact, if you could talk with mama, she would tell you the same thing Paul said to Timothy. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. She would encourage you to finish the race well for God. Lady said, that was Mama's favorite verse. And And he said it was in the bulletin yesterday in the funeral. He said 2 Timothy 4:6-8. She said it was in the bulletin. I said, really? I said, well, my name is Mark Cahill. I write Christian books. I always keep a baggie with me in my biking pants with money and tracks. I witness as I go through when I bike and stuff. It gives you a chance to stop and breathe so I can take a good break. So gave him some tracks and stuff. Gave him some money to buy him lunch or whatever. All of a sudden, the man comes back. And he said, who are you? I said, well, I'm Mark Cahill. I write Christian books and stuff like that. I just was talking to your sisters and stuff. He said, Mama sent you. I'm like, what? He said, Mama sent you, didn't she? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, Mama told me that I'm going to send you a sign from the other side, Raymond. Okay. Raymond's not saved. He said, I'm going to sign you a sign from the other side, Raymond. Okay. That I'm okay. And you need to commit your life to Jesus Christ, Raymond. Okay. He said, Mama sent you, didn't she? And I said, Raymond, I don't think she did. I think she's enjoying Jesus Christ right now. Okay. But I do think God orchestrated some things to make sure I'm on that bicycle at the right time. And I got off and all that. I said, do you like to read? He said, no, actually, I don't like to read at all and stuff. I said, okay. And I said, I have this stuff for you. I've already gotten emails from two of the ladies. Raymond has emailed me. Can I please get that book, sir? That One Heartbeat Away? I need to read this book. Okay. Even he knew God had orchestrated the entire thing that happened at a graveside just 2 months ago in Atlanta. See, we have a trumpet. Our job is to blow the trumpet and warn the Raymonds of the world. Trouble's coming if they don't get right with God and Jesus Christ. Okay. Last year, I'm on a flight going to Wichita, Kansas, talking with a gentleman. I don't have an inn yet. And if you don't have an inn, we just teach you ways to create inns with people. Okay. So I just asked the man, Joe, I said, hey, can I ask you an interesting question? What's everybody say to that? Sure, what do you got? Okay, I use that question. Hey, can I ask you an interesting question? He said, sure. I said, Joe, when you were younger as a kid, did you grow up in any religious faith or belief or tradition as a child? Now, it works on any age group, because then you just ask, now that you're older, any age group, is it more important to you or less important you've gotten older? Now, most people say what? They actually will say less important, okay? Well, hey, as we're getting older, we're getting closer to what? Death, so shouldn't it become more important? See, that just walks the conversation along. Watch what happened. I said, Joe, did you grow up in any religious faith or belief or tradition as a child? He said, yeah, I grew up Methodist. I said, okay. I said, now that you're older, is it more important to you or less important you got older? He said, less important, with a little edge to his voice. I said, Joe, did anything happen along the way to kind of push away from God? He said, yes, it did. Okay, with a most definite edge. Now, if that ever happens, and it happens some, not a lot, this is all I do. I said, Joe, if you feel comfortable, can you tell me what happened? Now, the reason I ask it that way is because you can't force someone to talk about things they don't want to talk about, okay? But if he tells me or not, can I still blow the trumpet either way? Sure, I can still warn him either way. But sometimes you're the relief valve, the release valve. You're the safety valve when someone does want to talk about something, okay? I said, Joe, if you feel comfortable, can you tell me what happened? All of a sudden, he put his head down. He's popping his head up and down, complete, total silence. You ever had that awkward silence in a conversation? It's never as long as you think it is. We had a video tape of your conversation. It's never as long as you think, but this was actually a long one. I do this a lot. He's got his head down. I'm sitting here. I have no clue what's going on. Total silence. He pulls his head up. He stares at me. He said, okay. He said, a stalker came after my daughter. We had to get the police involved. He said, the stalker came after my wife. We had to get the police involved. He said, the stalker broke the restraining order. He was arrested and thrown into juvenile detention center. He was a 17-year-old young man. Can 17-year-olds do wicked things? Yeah. Are you reaching them? You're reaching them when they're out with their cars in a parking lot on a Friday night in the summer? You're reaching them on the beach? Because if you're not, Satan is. Okay? He said, all of a sudden, one morning at 5 a.m., my daughter let out a blood-curdling scream at 5 a.m. He said, I came running out of the bedroom. The stalker is standing in the middle of the house with a rifle in the middle of the house. Okay, he shot out the sliding glass door and walked into the middle of his house. Okay, so think about it for a second. 5 a.m., your daughter's screaming. You wake up. You're fuzzy-headed. I'm sure you wake up quick, though. And you're in the house, and there's a man 10 to 15 feet away from you with a rifle. Okay, what would you do? Wrestle with it. Think about it. Men, think about it. What would you do at this moment? Because it can happen. Okay, it's a crazy world we live in. It can happen. What would you do? Okay, Joe's not a believer. I said, Joe, what'd you do? He said, I rushed that kid. He rushed straight for him. Two bullets to the stomach. I said, what'd you do, Joe? He said, I kept going. He said, I tackled that kid. He said, we were wrestling on the floor. He said, it was extremely bloody. He slipped out of my hands. He gets up. He runs out of the house. He said, the police finally show up. They catch him at the end of the street. He said, I'm laying on the floor. And I said, he said to himself, wait a minute. He said, where's my wife at? He gets up. He goes to the front door, opens the front door. His wife is laying face down in the snow, shot and killed. The gunman was waiting behind the bushes, shot and killed the wife, okay? And he came to the back of the house, and that's how the rest of the thing played itself out, okay? Joe looked at me and said, always remember, conversations go what? They go both ways, okay? He looked at me and said, Mark, I have a question for you. That's a good point. We'll teach you tonight how to answer questions when you get asked these. This is good. Even if I can't answer the question, we're okay, because he's still trusting me with the question, okay? He said, Mark, I have a question for you. He said, how can there be a God with my wife who is dead and this man who's alive in a prison in Ohio? How can there be a God? Legitimate question, yes or no? That's legit where I come from. Okay, we start talking back and forth. Okay, he had all these really good questions, and you and I got all these really good answers. Okay, so I finally said, Joe, do you like to read? He said, no, I don't. So I gave him one of my books, and I don't give up easy. And so when we landed in Wichita, he was 55 pages into the book. He said, sir, this has really helped me answer my questions. Oops, there we go again. They've got what? Questions, and you and I have what? Answers. That's why I want to engage a waiter or waitress today. Okay, that's why I want to engage Gabriella, the atheist, working behind the counter this morning in my hotel. Okay, that's why I want to chat with people and do that, okay? Because I know we have the answers they're looking for, okay? And he ended up, at the end, he ended up shaking my hand twice. He said, thank you so much for this conversation, okay? He really got into it and all that. He just was so thankful for it, okay? Remember the trumpet? You don't have to blow the trumpet real loud. Okay, I don't need to yell and scream at Joe, do I? He's hurting. His wife was shot and killed. Oh, it was 20 years ago. But the entire time we're talking, I get the feeling it's what? Yesterday. Yeah, it was just like unbelievable just watching this council. Okay, so you have a trumpet. We blow the trumpet. We warn people trouble's coming. Okay, I wrote a book called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. What's the one thing you can't do in heaven? You can't share your faith with a lost person because why? Not going to be there. Ever going to reach them? Got to reach them where? Here, when? Now, okay, that's what the book is, all the basics on witnessing. How do you break through the fear of rejection? Good questions to get started. We'll teach a bunch of those tonight and stuff. All my books are full of stories. This book here, I got to share Jesus with a Satanist, an atheist, Charles Barkley, Alex Rodriguez. Michael Jordan's in this book. Why? I met him. If I meet you, I don't ask for autographs and pictures. I ask questions. It's 1,000 times more fun, okay? I can't tell you the number of people I've met who have read this book, put it down boldly, share their faith in Jesus Christ. You heard of Albert Pujols, the baseball player with the he's Los Angeles Angels, but he was with the Cardinals. We're actually friends over this book. He read this book, as people call it, said, I'd like to meet you. And so I was going through St. Louis. We met, became friends and stuff. So watch what I did. I'm out there in St. Louis. We're at my hotel after one of the Cardinals games. And we're sitting there talking, and this is what I did to Mr. Pujols. He's the first baseman, St. Louis Cardinals, very strong Christian man, okay? I said, Albert, I said, aren't you the first baseman? He said, you just watched me play. You know I'm the first baseman, okay? I said, you ever thought about sharing your faith to people who come to first base, Albert? I said, they're standing right there, Albert. I said, they can't go anywhere, Albert. I said, all they can do is steal, and you can say, thou shalt not steal, Albert. Have you thought about this, okay? So I challenged him. He drives me to the airport the next day. He said, I'm going to take you off on that. I was like, serious? Yeah. That night, he calls me 3 days later. That night, he witnessed the 3 or 4 guys who came to first base. He said, when they got out, he'd look in the dugout. He could see them chit-chatting with each other in the dugout. Okay. He said, I knew they were talking about me. I knew it. Okay. But because he's Albert Pujols, he goes in the other team's locker room the next day. He hands the Christians One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. So as you meet other Christians, replicate yourself so they're soul winners as well, right? He hands the lost guys One Heartbeat Away, and books are literally going through Major League Baseball because a man stands on first base and shares his faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, think about that, you know? And so witness in your workplace, okay? The book The Watchman, also geared towards Christians, okay? This talk here became this book, The Watchman, and how to blow the trumpet and warn the people trouble's coming. In this book, I got the story about Joe, the stalker, that's in here. Herschel Walker, got to witness to Herschel Walker. He's in here. Kanye West, I got to witness to Kanye West one time. He's in the book and stuff. So it just shows you how basic, how easy and simple it is to get in these conversations. How many people have lost people you're trying to reach? Okay, let's try again. How many people have lost people you're trying to reach? Okay, it should be all of us, right? How many people have immediate family members that aren't born again and saved that aren't? Okay, me too. Someone asked me, since you spend so much time with lost people, would you write a book to lost people? So he wrote this book, One Heartbeat Away. We geared it towards lost people, but Christians love all the apologetics, okay? How do you prove a God? How do you prove the Bible true? Huge question you get, how to prove the Bible true. We walk you right through the Ten Commandments, leave you right at the cross, decide what you want to do. We've had atheists read this book, become born again. Muslims read this book, become born again. A Catholic nun read this book, became born again. Guy at a church picked up a book, read the book, gave it to his 80-year-old brother. He read the book and got saved. Gave it to his 80-year-old Catholic nun sister. She read the book and got saved. Don't we serve a great God? Serve a wonderful God if we're planting those seeds and doing that, okay? Then this book here I got to witness to an atheist. I got to witness to Magic Johnson's in the book. Tiger Woods is in the book. I had an interesting talk with Tiger in Orlando. I'll tell you some of the story tonight. But I just threw a question out there, and he bit, and we had about a 10 to 12-minute conversation on the topic of God, okay? Because that's what you do. You throw a good question, and people answer it, okay? So this book here, we had people get the book for all their family members. We've had employers get it for all their employees. Employers get it for their customers. I can't tell how many customers I've heard. I know I have an eye doctor. In his office, he puts little racks in each office, and he puts the Bible, my first book, my second book. And they'll tell me, they walk into an office, because he said, I'm an eye doctor. I don't want my patients just to physically see. I want them to what? Spiritually see. Okay? He said they walk in the office. He said over 50% of the time, someone's reading one of the three books. So he witnesses to them, does his doctor stuff, give him whatever book. He emailed me one day. He said, Mark, I've already gone through 1,500 of your books. He said, I need 1,000 more. He said, you would not believe what's going on in this doctor's office. Okay? He was having church every Monday, every Tuesday, okay? Because it was his business, so he did it for the Lord and did that, okay? So as you walk out today, there's tables back there with books for you back there. We also have the books on MP3 if you like to listen and stuff, okay? I'm real different. We don't charge for things. Everything's just donation. You just take what you want, pay what you want. That's how we do the ministry. We run our website the exact same way. So just get whatever you need to be able to give something to a waiter or waitress today, to give something to a family member and do that. If you're a visitor, please take something free off the table. If you're not born again and saved, please take a free copy of One Heartbeat Away. Just read it and commit to that information. I mean, you got all laid out for you exactly what Jesus Christ did for you, okay? So tables back there, just take what you want, give what you want. I go one step further. If anyone in the room has a financial need, not a want, a need, you know the difference, you can actually just reach in the box and take out what you need for your financial need, okay? We started doing this 6 or 7 years ago. We've heard the craziest stories from that little box, okay? One guy came up to me after church one time and said, hey, can I get $20 out of the box for gas? And no, if you have a need, just go ahead and take it out of the box. And I said, well, why do you need it? He said, well, I was driving past your church this morning. I ran out of gas. I coasted into the church parking lot. I said, well, I'm at the church. Might as well just go to the services. He didn't go to that church, okay? So he got God and gas all in the same morning. It was like a perfect morning for this guy and do that. And one time someone left me a note. Don't leave me a note, but someone left me a note one time. We're missionaries to Uganda. We were visiting your church this morning. You were the speaker. We go Monday back to Uganda. We have a second bag. They're charging us $200 for the second bag. That's called a ripoff, correct? That's a total ripoff. I mean, that's crazy. The plane's already going to Uganda. They're not going to stop the plane if you don't pay it. And she said, this bag is all full of what? Bibles, gospel tracts. Sir, we don't have the money to get this bag to Uganda, but we just took $200 out of the box. We'll get this bag to Uganda. We'll get this literature all across Uganda. Thank you very much. Don't we serve a great God? Remember something. Jesus Christ said, it's more blessed to give than receive. I take those words very seriously. Listen, Christians, we're not hoarders, we're givers. The book The Watchman has a whole chapter on giving, just all these insane stories that happened before my eyes when I learned to be a biblical giver. But remember, giving has nothing to do with money. Can't you give your time? Sure. Can't you give your talent? Sure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We're givers. That sets the tone and opens up doors for the gospel all the time. I see this all the time. So I think our best days are ahead of us, Christians. But when you read Revelation, there's tough days coming. But if you're a giver, watch neat things happen for you. So take whatever you need back there and be a blessing to someone today as you do that, okay? Every second, 2 people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, another 150,000 people taking their last breath, walking off in eternity. Heaven or hell as we speak. Simple question, Skyline. Do you care about those 2 people that just died? Much, much, much tougher question. Do you care enough to do something about where those 2 people are going to spend eternity that just died? Time goes by quick. You folks with some age under your belt, does life go by quick? Yes or no? It's crazy. Can't even explain how quick life goes by. Okay? Use your time wisely. You're going to meet him face to face very soon. And you don't want to be there by yourself. I'm going to invite a whole bunch of people to be there for the wedding supper of the Lamb one day. Okay? Time is precious, all right? Use it very, very wisely in the days to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just a great chance to be here. Father, I thank you for what the church is going through right now. Just a reminder, we're just passing through, heading to the other side. And Father, everyone that's born again and saved in this church has the right information to share with someone else today. And we need to give your son away, just like you gave us your son. We need to give him away to a very lost and very dying world. Father, stir. Let the events of what happened just remind us, okay, that we need to be bold. And a trumpet doesn't do us any good in the pocket when it needs to be blown. And America needs some loud trumpets right about now for what's happening in our country. And Father, we thank you for that, and we do. And we ask it in the great, great name of your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mark.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.